Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjublilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. Continuing in our mini-series on the Faculty of Arts, I have with me today for University Matters on Campus FM, Chevalier Professor Laurent Seykel, who is the head of the Department of French, and with him Dr. Thierry Tremblay from the same department, and also Mr. Carmel Seracino, assistant lecturer in the Department of Classics and Archaeology, and his main area, however, is the classics part of that department. Welcome, gentlemen. Perhaps we could start off, Professor Seykel, with you just giving us an idea of the genesis of the Department of French.
Yes, in fact, I have written it in French because lately we had an occasion on the Journée de la Francophonie, and I can tell you that from the 70s up to the middle of the 80s, French, who was not a department, was attached to Italian under the name of Mother Languages. Then, when everybody worked in the Faculty of Education, the French was joined to English. Then, in 1987, when there was the reinstatement of the Faculty of Arts, French, once again, was joined to Italian under the name of Department of Romance Languages. And I must say that the head of the department was always an Italianist, an Italian who specializes in Italian. Then, the autonomy of the French department started in 1993, and at the time, I had to present to Senate the remaining degrees to be done by students, MA, and so on and so forth, up to PhD. At the same time, in 1994, we had an agreement with the French embassy to create what we call la petite auberge, a small room where we students can come and read books and consult books, and so on and so forth. Apart from the those students who specialize in French, we also take care of those who do not specialize in French, coming from other faculties or departments. And there is a big number over there. In fact, lately, I made an agreement, signed an agreement with the Faculty of Laws. Beforehand, in the past, we did it with the European Studies. And in fact, we started when there was another head of department instead of me. They created a sort of liaison between the university for the students and for the lecturers as well. And during that period, we signed an agreement with Aix-Provence, today is Aix-Marseille, that they will send us somebody who takes care of the courses in French, always a petite auberge. And we had to send them an English a Maltese student who teaches them English, but I mean that only worked from one side. Lately, about 4 years ago, the University Faculty of Arts employed two native speakers, one coming from Paris and the other from Canada. And we enlarged our program because on one side we added the study of Francophonie, and on the other side we had lectures being given by the Canadian on modern literature, and lately he is going to join as well literature and language.
Italian has always been perhaps the most popular second language for the Maltese children, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes,
but
yes.
French as well has always enjoyed a great following amongst the Maltese students. Is that still the case today?
No, because at the time, the thing is that perhaps they didn't have enough money to create a department on its own, but I always was annoyed by that. It is to say, as English, as the other languages, I felt that a French department must be created. And I succeeded doing so in 1993, followed by the creation of the petite auberge, and always working with the French embassy. The French embassy supplies books, reviews, and the Maltese part, we supply the room, we supply, let's say, the maintenance of the room, and paying a French native speaker to give lessons on the French language itself.
How is your BA structured? I mean, you have probably a linguistic component, a literary component.
That is the two great, the major parts are literature from the Middle Ages up to the 20th century. And there are, let's say, we cannot afford having one only person for each century, so we take two together. And there is linguistics as well, the science of the language, starting from phonetics up to discourse analysis and pragmatics, and we pass through general linguistics and morphosyntax. Then we've got the history of France, so that it can help a lot the student when reading novels in French. Then we have what we call history of literary works. Then we have some language, but we, in fact, when you are at university, you are not expected to pass all your time studying the language. You must know it when you come here.
Because, in fact, the students, obviously, as with Italian, and they would have to speak French all the time throughout the 3 years within your lectures.
But there is a problem in the written part. Huh? All the members are aware that there is a problem when they come to write French. Because they are not preparing them well in the schools. They are concentrating on the modern method, approche communicative, but, I mean, they make an emphasis on the oral part, but the written part, it's disastrous. Mm-hmm. We have to give them a lot of extra lessons so that they will do it in the little French.
But I suppose as they read, I mean, they must read an awful lot for the degree, so as they read, they probably, their written skills would improve as well.
I agree with you, but they don't read a lot.
What about the fact that you're also imparting with the language a sense of French culture? I mean, do you give the students an opportunity to really get a grip on what French culture is all about?
Yes, it's part of the program. It is given by one of my members, and adding to that, the one employed by the university from Aix-Marseille, she covers the language. You cannot study a language without its culture. That's the same way you cannot do culture without language. They go together because I speak the language because I know how they react, how they act. It's reflected in language itself.
This is something that I've discussed in other language programs where we're talking about advance of language, where at school, very often that idea of the culture is not imparted, it's taught as a tool, whereas at university you really get to know about the culture.
You cannot have two pedagogies, one of the language, one of the civilization. You have to put them together, because the language itself reflects how you react, how you judge, how you speak. You cannot separate them. In the 7 days, they try to. In fact, I directed a thesis, BA thesis at the time, it was B.Ed., and they wanted to separate both of them, but they didn't go far.
The deeper you get into a language, the more you realize
that there exists a civilization parallel to the language.
And I was reading on your website that you have Erasmus possibilities as well.
Yes, that's been set a long time ago. And we are keeping it. Our students are keen, not all of them, but the thing is that they think they go to France to learn how to speak. That's not the only problem. I mean, you are doing something which you didn't do here. So you have to concentrate first and foremost on what you are missing here at the faculty, at the French department.
Total immersion, perhaps living with a family.
Yes, that will help, but for the spoken language.
Dr. Tremblay, what is your participation in the Department of French?
Teaching theory of literature. I'm also teaching literature and philosophy, methods of research. So I'm a kind of interface between the linguistic component and the literary component.
And what brought you to Malta?
What brought me to Malta? I'm a French-Canadian. I did my studies in Paris, and after that, stayed in Europe. So I was coming from Cyprus, actually, when I arrived in Malta.
So you like Mediterranean.
Ireland's maybe it's the country in the European Union that's the more similar to Malta from Cyprus. And I was very happy to come here in Malta. I live in Valletta, and I find it very beautiful.
What about our students here? I mean, Professor Seca was saying that perhaps there are some problems, but how have you found the reaction, enthusiasm or what?
I think that reading is a problem of all the Faculty of Arts, I think, and not only in Malta. It's something that's it's in the West. Yes. I don't know about outside the West, but it's in the West. It's a main problem. The students maybe don't have time to read enough, or maybe they, I don't know, they should read more, because that's the, that's how you learn how to write better, because you see the words, actually. Our students actually are improving. This year, I think we have a good intake on the first year. We have more students, and I think they're enjoying most of the classes they have in our department.
It's a very visual culture that our young people live in at the moment. So in a way, you can't blame them. They expect to be able to see everything, and it has to move. You know, the static sort of word doesn't attract them so much. But perhaps the pendulum will swing. What do you think?
Yes. I teach a class of culture and civilization. And in that class, actually, I present a lot of pictures, art. I think they're very receptive to that. I show also, obviously, if they see an art piece, they see also the title, so it's there's something literary in it. But yes, it's a more visual culture now. And actually, I also teach in the MA of the interdepartmental MA, the Faculty of Arts, which is called Literary Tradition and Popular Culture. And this is an MA where visual culture is, of course, very important, since popular culture today is mainly visual, but not only. I guess there's bestsellers and there's comics, and
exactly.
But comics is in between.
It's in between, yes, yes, lies in between. Professor Saker, just in the last couple of minutes that we have at our disposal, the research in the
yes,
department,
research,
I know that you do a lot of research.
Yes, each and every member of the department does his work in his field of specialization. I can tell for myself, I'm a linguist, and I can go to teaching French as a foreign language. Is to say, I wrote about four books on the teaching of French as a foreign language. Since Malta joined the EU, I am very interested in translation and translation studies. In fact, I wanted to depart myself from literature, and I translated a very difficult book on linguistics, on modern linguistics, pragmatics. Now I am doing the other way around, from Maltese to French, that of Alfred Sant, and I am glad about it, because now the French people are going to start to learn our own culture, how do we write our style, our authors, modern authors, and so on and so forth. And I'm going to issue two of them, one completely in French, because French, when they go through a book, they don't like languages to accompany their own, especially Maltese. I mean, it's a minor language for them. And one for our translators and students. Parallel, French and Maltese. It's an interesting approach, because everybody will be served. The French do not like when they look at the book, they have a look at it. And when they see another language, especially our language is minor compared to English, I mean, they'll buy it for sure. Mm-hmm. Then the others, you can speak to Dr. Tremblay, but I've got one who is in modern literature. Professor De Pasquale is doing research in the Chevalier, and the Frenchman, he is doing research in the Francophonie, where French is spoken.
Well, unfortunately, I'm very happy to pass on to Mr. Caracercino, because our time is short and we want to give him as much time as possible. I'm not doing any introductions of our academics in this series, because I want to give as much time as possible for you to speak about your department, the classic side of classics and archaeology.
Well, I come from the classics, so I can comfortable for me to speak about the classics, but I'll try to cover also archaeology. The classics have been present at the university, being the bedrock of the humanities since the very foundation, since very long history of the classics at the University of Malta, 1769, the foundation. However, the department has been recognized, officially recognized, relatively later, in about 1961, when we start speaking of a department of classics. In 1990, archaeology was added to classics, and so now we have the Department of Classics and Archaeology. We offer separate programs. We offer two undergrad programs for classics. So we have BA General and BA Honors for classics, and the same for archaeology, two degree programs as far as first cycle degrees are concerned. Then we have also postgrad leading to masters and PhD in classics. I myself am reading for a PhD here at the university under Professor Mauricio Vella, who's been teaching classics for the past 25 years in Malta. And for archaeology, the department offers a master's degree program. And soon, in 2015, we have a new master's projected to start in 2015 in archaeological practice. So it should address the practical side of the discipline, so techniques, excavation and all that. Later, in 2018, there are plans to launch another master's program for archaeology, this time in global maritime archaeology, with a partner university in Australia. And this is one of our colleagues' brainchild project.
Dr. Timmy Gambi,
who's very tireless. And the department, I should started with him, is headed by the very dynamic Dr. Nicholas Vell as well.
Am I right in saying that classics has had a little bit of a revival these last years, or is that not the case?
Yes, it has. It has in more ways than one. First of all, classics have been preserved at the university through the efforts of Professor Vella, who's been this initiative that that classics are still being taught at university. Beside that, we have also founded the Malta Classics Association, which is a separate body, but it's supported by the department. And, and the aim of the association is to promote the classics to the larger public, even outside universities, through, as you know, through theater and through beginners courses in both languages. In the university, we teach, this is important for me to stress, we teach the languages, both Greek and Latin, from scratch, so students enrolling can either the BA general and or the honors course do not need to have any previous knowledge of either language.
Because in fact, over these last, I think I did my O-levels in 1970, and I think that was the last year that my school in England taught Latin. Uh-huh. After that, it sort of went out of fashion. Uh-huh. But now, I think at junior college, having classical culture. What is that all about?
We have a new intermediate level of classical culture at the junior college, and also at the higher
secondary
school at National. It's been taught. This started a couple of years ago. We're very happy with that.
And you were surprised with the number of people that took it on, I think.
We were very delightfully surprised with the number. And we are hoping now that this new lease of life for classics will continue even and move on to hopefully primary and secondary schools as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe with a good dose of what is more appealing to youngsters, like mythology and civilization.
I'm going to ask a provocative question. If somebody, a student, comes up to you and says, you know, I've heard there's a classics degree at university, but I'm a bit unsure, why should I do a classics degree at university? What would your answer be?
My answer would be a bit hesitant because it's a difficult question. First of all, it's difficult because you have to think on the future of the student, I mean, on employment opportunities. Now these have risen a bit because of we are teaching classics even at junior college and other places. However, it's the pleasure you get from learning ancient languages, which are the basics to other languages and to the whole to all the humanities subjects.
Also, we talked a lot in other programs in this mini series about the skill sets that students come out with at the end of the day. And I think that if you have a classics degree, the skill sets you get, I would imagine, would be extremely useful out there in the world of work.
They are, Trisha, because by dealing with difficult texts, you get your mental analytical skills are improved. They have to. So. I can speak from experience. I've joined university as a full-timer only 2 years ago. So before that, I had to work. I worked for about 15 years or longer. And I never had problems in getting jobs. I've done several before coming to university. And I can also say that in interviews, saying that I had a degree in classics was always seen as a favorable asset in my case. And one occasion, it was the thing which tipped this case to my favor and got me the
success,
job. So classics are very much respected by those who know what they mean and what they entail. Mm-hmm. I think that's the purpose also of the Malta Classics Association and the department, after all, to get the awareness across what classics do to a person who studies them.
I ran through on the search of the credits which you yourself teach, which sound really interesting, and obviously you probably don't have a full load because you're doing your PhD,
giving you a bit of time.
So far. Professor Vella, for example, I mean, aspects of structure in the epics of Homer and Virgil,
yes,
I mean,
very,
you know, great
tough
stuff. So what do the students do?
Well, our program is mainly language. The lingual component is very strong because we teach both languages in 3 years. From scratch, so it has to be. But beside the language, we also try to teach the cultural aspects of the classical world, like literature and civilization, and these topics which are very, very important as well. But basically, we take the students all the way from nil knowledge of the classics, both languages, to a sound grasp by which they can improve their studies further, their studies later on when they're done with university, and can even teach the both languages themselves, as many of our graduates do after finishing here, especially those who continue with their master's degree. And they all teach the languages either part-time or full-time as well.
Because there must be, obviously, a dearth of teachers of classics.
Which is good. It's good for us.
Yes, exactly. There's other connections as well, going back to the connection between classics and archaeology. For those who are, for example, Roman archaeologists, they can look at manuscripts, they can look at inscriptions, they can look at all sorts of things, and it gives them that intro. And also, I was talking to an historian who said, you know, I find it difficult to understand why my students come to me without Latin, because they need, very often, they need it.
Yes, in fact, we are offering right now a study unit, an address for historians, Latin for historians, and the intake was very encouraging. Yes, I think Latin is extremely important for all those who intend to study history and languages, even for French, I suppose. I mean, the knowledge of Latin would be helpful for the Romance languages.
Yes, it was one of the fun subjects
for me at school. Professor Seikel is not agreeing with me, he's disagreeing from the other side.
And I know French very well. It's to say, when you come to 16th century authors, that's good.
There you are.
Perhaps.
And the grammar, you specialize in grammar. Don't you think that grammar
is what we call synchrony, that is to say, synchrony of the 20th century, 21st. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. We don't go to diachrony and know how it happened to that.
I'm not saying that it's indispensable, but it's certainly a plus.
I know very few words in Latin. I mean, you have to grasp the French itself nowadays.
That's good. We have a nice academic argument going here.
Yes.
Well, you can teach me French and I can teach you some Latin.
What do you think?
The thing is that when you come to the 16th century, there is influence of Latin, and perhaps 17th, but
after that, you have to read.
I remember when they were discussing what would be the language of the EU, of European Union.
Oh yes.
And my first thought was it should be Latin, because this is it will not be English, so the French will be angry that it is English. It will not be French, so the English will be angry that it is French. It should be Latin. It was the real language of Europe. Europe was built on Latin, actually, a bit on Greek, but the Greek were more on the Eastern.
Anyway, up until the 16th century, it was Latin, the European language, and the cultural and diplomatic language of Europe.
In Paris, the university quarter is called the Quartier Latin, because the students were coming from all over Europe and they were discussing
Latin quarter in Paris.
Yes.
I always liked the idea that the intelligentsia, the professors of the time, would be able to go anywhere in Europe, any university, just walk in and be able to speak to the students in Latin. Mm. And it seemed like a very good unifying kind of language, obviously, at that level.
And books were published not in French or anything, but in Latin, because that ensured greater currency all over Europe. And books published in the vernacular had to be translated to Latin.
You have to write a lot, watch TV, certain programs.
I'm sure.
But when you come to literature, I repeat, 16th or perhaps 17th century, you have to know Latin, because there are Latin words in it. Mm. But nowadays, even the universities, not making Latin as a compulsory subject.
Well, unfortunately, we'll have to terminate this discussion at this point as we've run out of time. Thank you very, very much.
2 days.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Professor Seikel, yes, and Dr. Tremblay, and Carmen Serracino for being
thank
with
you,
us today. Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsins Foundation.